Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Are you serious?
I am serious. We've got a lot to get to in this hour of radio greatness. We will Sprague the line coming up at 9:30. Your fake sponsors are welcome. 503-864-6326. I wanted to keep going on this a little bit, so if you're just hopping in your car, good morning to you. Hope your Friday's off to a good start. We're talking about Kurt Cignetti and the contract that he signed. Before I get to some of the comments on this, he is such a remarkable story, and I have the ability to separate the emotions of what happened this past weekend. This guy, 5 years ago, well, first off, he was at Alabama. So he's coaching at Alabama as a wide receiver coach, making like $300,000 a year. And in that moment, at the age of, what, this has been 2011, so this is like 13, 14 years ago, you're talking about a 50-year-old guy. 50 years old coaching wide receivers at Alabama.
You have to imagine in your mind, you maybe haven't completely given up the idea of it, but you have to imagine at 50 that you're only really a positional assistant coach, right?
Yeah, that's just, and that's not a bad life. He's making 270 to 300 grand a year,
like, in Alabama.
It goes a long
way. Living like a king.
And he says, "You know what? I've been here for 3 years. This has been great under Saban. I can't live with myself if I don't take the chance to go be a head coach.
Yeah,
I gotta go be a head coach."
Yep.
And he goes and takes over the Indiana University of Pennsylvania's college football team.
Isn't that IUPUI?
That is not IUPUI.
It's
is IUP. It's just IUP.
Oop.
He goes to IUP.
Not ooey pooey.
No. And he is there for a number of years. He's there, you know, goes 53-17, wins 10 games in his last year. He had a 12-win season. It's Division II football.
Yeah.
Like, he's making nothing to go coach at that level, from a pay decrease at Alabama to be a head coach at that level. He then takes over Elon for 2 years, then goes to James Madison for 3 years, 5 years. And goes 52-9, 11-1 in his last year, and then takes over the Indiana job. It's a remarkable story in that regard. Some of the comments that we got on this, look, I'm not saying that none of this is valid and that it can't. There's obviously the possibility this goes bad. Like, we do this from time to time where there's a moment and you're like, how could this ever age poorly? And then it ages poorly, and you think, God, Indiana, what did you do to yourself? A lot of coaches who end up getting bigger contracts and bigger buyouts, sometimes the schools regret them. Hence, look at what happened to James Franklin right now at Penn State. But somebody chimed in on the YouTube chat and said, Indiana's 31st in recruiting. Paul has some fair points considering that those upperclassmen are all out for this year. And what I would say to that is, and maybe I'm wrong here, maybe it's a blind spot for me. Do we think the expectations at Indiana, even if they go on, let's say they win a couple playoff games and lose in the semifinals this year, that's their year. Maybe they fall short in the Big Ten title game to Ohio State, but they're competitive. You go to the playoff and you lose in round, you know, quarterfinals, whatever. Do we think all of a sudden that's the expectation year in and year out in Indiana? That if he has a 9-3 year or an 8-4 year, we're going to have hot seat talk with Kurt Cignetti. And again, maybe that's a blind spot for me. Prior to last year, do you know how many 9-win seasons Indiana had in their football history?
I do, because I told you this stat like 2 weeks ago.
Two.
Yeah.
They had won 9 games twice.
Yeah. One of those was before 1967.
One of them was in 1967, yeah. And the other one was in 1945.
Yeah.
Those are the two times Indiana football in their history won nine games. And so you have the James Franklin examples of like, well, he can't beat the big teams and he can't go on a run and he can't win a championship. That's the expectation at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe in 5 years, Indiana's like, yo, why are we only winning nine games every year? This is BS. I just don't think it's ever going to be that kind of a job. And so for that reasoning, I don't think he's going to get fired. And you can tell me he's going to lose everybody. You got to go portal everybody in. Guess what, man? They lost half their team last year. All those James Madison transfers are gone. They brought in a new quarterback. They got better than they were a year ago. And so is that going to work every year? No. The portal sometimes hits and sometimes it doesn't. They're not going to be a top 15 recruiter. It's Indiana football, and I think their expectations are going to be in line with Indiana football.
I think the difficult thing is that's just a lot of money, right? So it's instantly going to elicit a response, a reaction. And what I find interesting is they're about to do, as Finebaum admits to himself, they might go to a second straight playoff.
What if they win the Big Ten this year?
I mean, you could go as high as what if they win the whole enchilada?
Yeah.
Right? And so like,
then is it too much money?
Well, but like, we're so year to year with it instead of maybe having a bigger perspective. Where was Miami fan after year two of Mario?
They were out. Where was Alabama fan 4 weeks ago?
But yeah. So like, it's such an emotional tied sport that like we react all the time. And sometimes we go way too far with the reaction. Right. But I don't know. I think that's the difficult thing here. I think you could have a blind spot, and eight wins is looked at as a disappointment, and Indiana's going to start buzzing nationally to sources. Hey, it's getting warm, man. We're disappointed over here. Or they go, man, this guy's bad year is 8-4.
That used to be the best year in the history of Indiana football.
And also, let's be fair, nothing is impossible, and there's a year where maybe he doesn't even go bowling because he suffers injuries. I don't know how it's going to go.
Or the Big Ten schedule's tough for them that year.
When you're in a conference like the Big Ten or the SEC, man, like Vanderbilt's going through this. If Vanderbilt finishes with a 9-3 year, should they extend Clark Lee or should they just keep going?
Yes.
Nah, man, we'll keep you on your deal and make you earn more. And every other university is going to go, yo, Clark, they're not paying you right, dude.
What happened when James Franklin walked to Penn State? What did Vanderbilt football do after that?
It cratered.
They went back into being Vanderbilt football.
I don't know. Maybe Indiana has figured something out internally here. We also can't fool ourselves. A lot of this is Kurt Cignetti. It's his culture building. He did it at other universities at lower levels. So I get it. I guess from a money standpoint, we do give these universities a lot of grief when they mismanage their money so grossly. Jimbo Fisher is one of those examples. James Franklin now. And private equity is being brought up. But I also, I'm a realist. The sport right now is, they won't pay you? We'll pay you.
Yeah.
And so, like, Indiana's kind of strong-armed to say, we've never been this relevant. We've never mattered. And this guy's the one doing it. Whether you lose your assistants and your quarterback, you know, you're going to have to replace him. Okay, we don't trust the guy to make those replacements. We questioned Fernando Mendoza a little bit. Might be a number top 5-10 pick. Okay, well, he's going to lose his coordinator, Sprague. You didn't know who those guys were before you hired him.
Couldn't even tell you their names.
So, we've said this about Lanning, too. Yeah. He's been able to kind of overcome some of that.
Kenny Dillingham left to be head coach, and who did he go
find?
Now
it's Will Stein, and well, how's he going to do it? I don't know. I'll just trust him to do it.
Knows what he's doing.
I get it, but if I was an Indiana fan, I'd also be ecstatic that he's not leaving me for Penn State.
This is the first time you've had hope your entire life.
I told you this yesterday, and I'll tell that listener. If I would have told you 4 years ago that there was going to be a football coach that told Penn State no because he wanted to stay at Indiana, you wouldn't have believed me.
No.
You just wouldn't have. So it's pretty remarkable.
It's also in an era where they're getting a full Big Ten media share, which is a massive amount of money every year. And they are, you know, they can afford it. And I guess the biggest difference for me, because I certainly understand that there are examples of this, of guys who have been a flash in the pan and it not work out long term because of the infrastructure at the school. I gave the stat earlier in the week, and I think it's an important one, of just the football operating budgets for Penn State and Indiana for the year of 2024. Penn State's was $64 million for the year, and Indiana's was $61 million for the year. So they're spending money. We're in the era of revenue sharing. They are now an attractive place for guys in the transfer portal. Are they going to have better recruiting classes to Bloomington, Indiana, than Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, and Miami? No, of course they're not. But that's not what they've built the last two teams on. And so there will be ebbs and flows with this. I guess the biggest difference in all of this for me is simply put, I don't think there's psychotic expectations at Indiana the way there are at some of these other places. Jimbo Fisher, to me, is a terrible example because he was the guy that got $100 million guaranteed to get that job. He was fat and happy when he got it, and he had 1 year in the COVID year where he went 9-1. Every other year other than that in his career, he was not good and did not meet expectations, right? Mel Tucker was a one-year thing. He didn't back it up for another year, and so they got caught in the trap of giving him a massive, massive extension after 1 year.
Well, some are making the same argument that even though the season's not complete and they're sitting in a good spot, you technically only have 1 year. Well, I don't know.
They're going to be undefeated.
Even if they trip up once.
I just don't think they will.
They're still going.
Yes,
you know, largely they're still going to a playoff.
Yeah, to me, the difference is that most of these examples, and honestly, for Mel Tucker, too, like use him, he ended up getting fired. Now, the year after wasn't great. He got fired for personal conduct reasons. So I don't know where the program would have gone under Michigan. I don't know where they would have gone in 2023 or 2024. He was a decent recruiter. I don't know how it would have worked out for them. That was an off-the-field thing that led to the demise of him that they were looking for because he did go 5-7 and they were frustrated by it.
Wasn't Jimbo's last year at Florida State 6-6?
Jimbo's last year at Florida State was 6-4, and then he got fired. He got fired in the middle of 10 games into the season.
So there you go.
So he was 6-4. The year before that, he was 5-7. The year before that, he was 8-4. He had the 9-1 COVID year. He was 8-5, 9-4. That was his record at Texas A&M.
And then Willie T was after him, right?
Willie T.
After Jimbo? Who was after Jimbo?
At Florida State?
Yes.
I think it was that Willie Taggart?
I'm blanking. But my point is this.
I think it was.
Look at where that program went.
Oh, you're talking about Jimbo. Sorry, I thought you meant at A&M. But Florida State, his last year was 5-6, and he got fired. Yeah.
5-6.
Yeah.
And he got fired.
And he got fired.
Then they went with an interim Odell Haggins before Taggart.
And then Taggart took over the next
full-time
year.
Guy, right? So, like, this is kind of we're also proving, like, it's not that he can't be Jimbo.
I'm not saying,
I also find it funny we only highlight the bad ones.
Right.
We don't talk about the good ones.
Guys getting locked up early and going on to have continued success at their school.
Yeah.
I'm not.
We always play the fear part instead of like the, hey,
how
it's
could
actually
this ever
worked
work
out with a lot of other ones.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to sit here and argue that I'd take him over, you know, insert all these different coaches. Like people saying he's not better than Sark or he's not better than Lanning or he's not like, the recruiting profile is different at Indiana than it is at other places.
You think Texas should be he should be recruiting at the level of Texas?
Right, that's just not a realistic expectation at Indiana. And so,
just because he's currently the third highest paid doesn't mean he is the third best coach.
No,
and all of this stuff changes every other year anyway.
A lot of these other coaches will point to this and use this as a reason to get a pay raise, and they will move above him, similar to quarterback contracts, and then we'll say, hey, he's not the third highest paid coach. Now he's the seventh highest paid coach. Is that fair?
Well, use your guy, right? Like, I'm high on Dan Lanning. How is anybody not if you have a brain? But what if Dan Lanning and Oregon don't win the Big Ten title, but they win a playoff game, but then they don't win the title? And every year he's basically gotten an extension. What if he's now the third highest next year? Are we all going to question that?
I certainly wouldn't.
But there's what does he want?
What does he want?
You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be
why would you do this?
So it's so year to year, and it's so reactionary. It's a lot of money. There's no doubt. We crossed that threshold a long time ago, though, man. They fall over themselves all the time. And sometimes they make bad decisions. They also, there's times where guys make good decisions of who to pay.
Well, see how it works out for them. I tend to think that this one, Indiana is so unique that I have no problem paying Kurt Cignetti whatever he wants
to make. Is 8 years too long? I would look more at the years than the pay.
Yeah, maybe. But if he wants to retire, he retires. So, he's, 64 years old, right?
He also doesn't strike me as I'm looking for the payday and that's my deal. Like, he's psychotic. Have you watched him talk?
Yeah.
Jimbo's always a character.
Well, and also,
he just, stares at you sideways and is just like, I know how to coach football. And you're like, okay, you do.
The Jimbo Fisher A&M example is just a terrible one because they gave him so much money up front that he never had this, he just didn't care. He wanted to go there for medical reasons for his kids, and
they just guaranteed $93
million. Like, an insane amount of money. I get it, but he's also, he's earned the money. Like, that's, to me, the difference. Jimbo won a national title. I don't disagree with that, but that was also years before he took the A&M job, and things ended poorly at Florida State, and they were desperate for a big-name coach, and it didn't work out necessarily. Like, Cignetti, I don't question his work ethic or his ability to maintain this. Are they going to win a title every year or go to the playoff every year? I have no idea. But if your low watermark now in Indiana is 7-5, 8-4, dude, just spend 10 minutes scrolling the list of Indiana football seasons.
It's depressing.
And how ugly that program has been forever.
Yeah.
And he has upped them to a new profile, and I don't have any issue with it. I don't have the fear-mongering thought. We'll see how it works out years down the road. Let's get to a team. There's already a cautionary tale of when this happens and then you travel. How does it look? Does it exist for another team? And what are we looking for out of them this weekend? We'll dive into that next. 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, welcome back in 821. A couple weeks ago, we saw a team lose a brutal home game in a top 10 matchup, and then have to go on the road 3,000 miles away.
Mm.
And it did not end well for them.
Who beat that team?
UCLA beat that team.
Mm.
Oregon beat them the first time, and then UCLA beat them the second time.
There you go.
And then Northwestern beat them the third time.
Well, yeah.
And then they fired the right coach. No, that's something that's been, you know, sticking in my mind this week. I think when you lose a game, you question everything, right? Why do I even do this? Why do I get so emotionally involved in all this for all the pain and the heartbreak? I quit. I don't want to be a fan.
Your emotions are tied to 18 and 22.
They
olds.
Are. Every year, you know, why do I let them dictate my happiness in life? I don't know. Maybe I'll be able to solve that with a therapist someday. But for now, I'm terrified of Rutgers. Oregon is going on the road 3,000 miles away to play in Piscataway, New Jersey, and it's a game that at the start of the year, I mentioned this earlier in the week, you kind of look through the schedule of like, oh, that'll be a fun week, that'll be a good game, I will have some juice that week, and you go into it thinking, oh, Rutgers, get out of here, I want nothing to do with that game, it's dumb that they're even in the Big Ten, this is ridiculous.
Oregon or Rutgers? Because
kind of both, you know, kind of both.
Geographically makes a little more sense than Oregon, but
sure.
Yeah.
Success-wise, it doesn't. But
no, it doesn't.
They got TV households, right? How about that TV market in Piscataway, New Jersey? I'm sure everybody in New York will be glued to this game this weekend, just like they are in the Bay Area for Stanford and Cal. But now all of a sudden it's a game where you're like, man, what are you going to look like? We have no idea how a group of young kids are going to bounce back from pain and an emotional loss, and now everybody's kind of counting. Yeah, do you crater? Do you come out and open up a can of whoop ass? Is it ugly early, but then you get it going late? I expect them to win tomorrow, but I think it has added a ton of intrigue for a game of how does Oregon look and how many questions can they, I guess quiet would be the phrase, in a performance tomorrow night.
So this is funny because I think SVP did some of his picks for this weekend.
Okay.
He loves Rutgers plus 17 and a half.
Yeah, dude, you're flying 3,000 miles away after tough emotional loss at home.
Well, so
the theory in your head, you're like, oh, they got to go kill him, right? That's not the way that this usually works.
Well, no. I mean, there's certainly moments where you don't look perfect, and score-wise, it's not the most amazing thing. We saw that in where? Northwestern, right? Yeah. And Northwestern isn't amazing, but they don't have the greatest, most rabid fan base. But it's still a road trip, and it was a big noon game, and so it's never easy to get up for those. I guess I would kind of counter with what you're saying and ask you this. Is there a score that leaves you overly concerned? Is it just the threat of actually losing a second straight game, and maybe we're dismissing the idea of it? Because last week, and I understand these are very different things and situations, Rutgers was up 10-0 at Washington. They lost 38-19.
Yeah, they've been a terrible team in the second half.
That's
their defense
a 38-9 response after being down two scores at home. Now, you're at home. That's not Rutgers. But I kind of just look at this and I say, I understand some of the fears or questions that Duck fans have.
Mm-hmm.
And Rutgers has got a good coach. But almost all their metrics are suggesting Duck should be able to really kind of show their weaknesses pretty loudly on this. I don't know if it's going to start off great, but I kind of look at this and I picked Oregon to cover the spread. That is a lot of points, but I am kind of expecting that kind of performance from Oregon, especially if they are where Pate still considers them a national title contender.
Yeah, I it's not necessarily the thought of, oh my God, they're going to go lose back-to-back games, although I think college football has taught us the last handful of weeks that you shouldn't rule anything out. We have no clue what's going to happen. If I would have said to you 2 weeks ago, hey, Penn State's going to follow up that loss to Oregon by losing to UCLA and being down by...
You
would never believe me, right? Now, that's a unique example of they fired a coach and they got a new play caller and they got their, you know, they got their mojo going, and they've clearly proven that this is not a fluke, that they're now a more competent football team than they were the first 4 weeks of the year. But for the first month of the season, they didn't even hold a lead in a game. And then they led the entire game against Penn State. So it's just one of those where you just never quite know.
But it's not 12 years built up into an Indiana game that you lost. That's the big difference here is they still internally, I was listening to Benson yesterday on the Duck Insider Show.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about leadership and how Poncho is kind of one of the bigger leaders for their team. Not just physically. But he just said, you know, like internally, you don't want to lose. But yeah, man, it woke them up. Now, he can say that.
Those are words in a press conference. Do you see it on the field tomorrow?
You know, that's what I'm fascinated to see. Yeah. And Pate talked about that with us yesterday as well. I tend to think that they will. But given the Penn State stuff and given how at times it just looks so inept, I guess blame a lot of the fan base for being kind of nervous about this one or not knowing what to fully expect.
A couple of notes keep an eye on for this game. We'll get to some other notes in the college football weekend coming up in a bit. But I went back and rewatched their game against Washington yesterday while I was working out, and they throw a lot of jump balls. Like, this is an offense that'll push the ball down the field, and they got tall wide receivers. They got, you know, a 6'3", a 6'6" wide receiver on the outside.
Yeah.
I think the first touchdown of the game was a jump ball in the end zone. So they'll test your secondary in that regard. In those, like, jump ball contested throws, you know, goal line fade kind of situations, one of their wide receivers, Ian Strong, he's the one that's 6'3", he's 12 of 19, and KJ Duff is the other one. He's 11 of 18 in those throws. So they're completing a good chunk of those when they're trying 50-50 throws. So that's been one of the calling cards of Oregon secondary now, as they're taller and they're longer, and Finney's been a great story this year. But the other corner spot's been a bit of a question mark, and it was exposed by Surratt. And so that's something that I would circle on the defensive side. But to your larger point about not, you know, necessarily maybe being fearful of this happening again, The biggest reason for that is, simply put, that they're not good defensively in any way, shape, or form, and especially when you look at their second-half defensive metrics. And I mentioned it on the show yesterday. Like, right now in total defense in the Big 12, they're dead last. Dead last in yards per game, giving up nearly 400 yards, and that's including non-conference games where they played nobody. Their pass defense in the conference, dead last, giving up 250 yards per game. And their rushing defense, I had this one open, is
terrible.
14th in the conference.
Yeah, not good.
So it's just like they are in the bottom tier of literally every defensive statistic that exists. And that's where the main thing that I'm keeping an eye on tomorrow is gaining confidence and momentum as an offense. This is an offense that started the year, albeit against inferior opponents, just torching them and lighting them up. I mean, you go back to the Oklahoma State game, and it was like first play of the game, touchdown, third play of the game, touchdown. It just was constant barrage of points and deep shots and making plays and blocking downfield. and they've gotten into Big Ten play, and it's gotten bogged down a little bit. They weren't perfect against Northwestern, not killing them for it, but it wasn't perfect. You go on the road to Penn State, very difficult environment. It's 3 points in the first half. Took you a while to score those first touchdown drives. Had a lot of underneath plays, a lot of fourth down conversions to keep stuff alive. And then this past week, you weren't terrible in the first half by any stretch. I actually saw somebody had a graphic of the halftime stats, and it was funny to go back and remember that Oregon led in almost every category at halftime. Yards, passing yards, rushing yards, first down, third down conversions. Go up and down the list. They led in every category. You had 200 yards of offense in the first half. And in the second half, you were somehow held to 60, and you got completely bogged down, and you turned the ball over a couple times. And so that's like, of all the things to keep an eye on for tomorrow's game, your offense should not struggle against Rutgers' defense. How do you find a way to get your mojo and your momentum back, carry it into Wisconsin, go into the bye week, and then be set up for a good run in November?
Well, and see, I look at the other side of the ball, too, and I go, defensive line, you know, they put some pressure. They pushed him out to the edges, but for the most part, did not have quite the impact. They finished one sack last weekend.
One sack, yeah.
I kind of look at that side a little bit more, and I think what you're saying is 100% accurate and fair. Defensively, though, like I would venture to guess most Duck fans think their defense is better than Washington's.
Yeah.
Kind of dominated the game after that weird start.
After the start.
So
some of that was short fields, too, for Washington's defense, where they were punting and they were getting at the 50.
So I think if Washington can do that, Oregon should have an expectation they can do that. Now, on the offensive side, I'll say this, because I don't have many numbers to give you. I would just kind of say this.
Mm-hmm.
In a weird way, despite not having a marquee win by a ranked metric, right, because Penn State's fallen off, in a weird way, you're not abandoning hope. But their offense has kind of been doing what people were concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's obviously some really good moments. You 69 to Cowboy and you bludgeon the Beavers. Like, you had some moments. But what you talk about in the Big Ten play, you lose to Indiana, you score one offensive touchdown. It looks clunky for a large portion of the Northwestern game. I think it's fair to kind of say a lot of what the proverbial media, brought up of like, is this that? And then what is this going to be? Like, there's been, DeCorian has looked good, but not really doing as much in the last game, right?
They just didn't involve him or Sadiq at
Sadiq
all in the first
got
half.
Last
no
week.
Targets in the first half and had like two catches on the game.
Hey, man, Deer Hill, he's the number one. He's too obvious now. Now it's Davison. Like, they haven't quite stapled the number one back down. It's more of just a consistent rotation.
They don't have an identity right now
and
on
that's,
offense.
That's
they're kind of
what
trying
I'm saying,
to find
right?
it like, at this point in the year.
For all the questions that we in the media had about Oregon, and even fans too, like, some of the questions are pretty valid ones right now. And can you respond and show that you're getting past what your loss was? Because the inconsistencies we spoke of potentially happening have kind of showed themselves.
Yeah, somebody texts in, you know the Ducks are going to win. Come on, you're giving swag bleep for playing down the Dodgers. Look, I would be shocked if Oregon lost this game to Rutgers. I'm just saying, what does it look like? Is it a one-score game? Is it uncomfortable? The idea that you're going to fly 3,000 miles after a heartbreaking loss at home, when they have an extra day, by the way, to prepare for you, you're going into an environment that's going to be their Super Bowl, Oregon at Rutgers. Like, those fans are going to be jacked for this game. I guarantee it. It's a night game, too, on top of it. Like, that you're just going to go in there and be up 38-0 at the half? Like, hey, if you are, I will sit down at halftime and say, oh, my God, thank you for an easy, comfortable win, and now I can just relax the rest of the game and not have to care, and let's see how many depth pieces we get in. But
a one-score win is going to have you very, like, damn it.
Yeah, like, what's
even
going on
win,
here?
Even though you win, it's like,
even though
okay.
you win. Like, I remember doing this last year to the Purdue game, and it wasn't perfect for them, but I remember having that same thought of, like, you just beat Ohio State, now you're going on the road, Purdue sucks, you're playing on a short week, and it's going to be a big game for them, and I think this Rutgers team is better than the Purdue team that they played last year, but you just never know how teams are going to respond. And so all I'm arguing is a lot of intrigue in that game tomorrow. I think the defensive stuff you bring up is valid, getting after the quarterback, finding that momentum again on offense, finding it a bit of an identity. I want to see him run the football a ton. So there was a lot. Not a lot to look at for the Rutgers game at the start of the year. Now we're here, and it's like, man, I'm pretty excited for that game tomorrow night, 3:30. And you could hear it right here on the fans. You know, I'm going to be live at Grand Central Bowl tomorrow.
I heard about that.
You know who else is going to be there?
Who?
Live in the flesh.
Oh.
Well, one, Anthony Newman will be there, of course.
Yeah.
The mayor of Eugene.
Yeah.
You can come get your autograph. Anthony Newman will sign autographs.
High school football legend.
High school football legend, Anthony Newman. You know who else is going to be there?
Who?
Casey.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
He'll be hanging out.
Teddy Ballgame?
I'll be here.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Teddy Ballgame will make a debut. We'll see. TBD. See how the morning goes. Does he sleep? Does he want to go bowl? Is it nap time?
If this thing is 6-3 at halftime,
TBD.
Oh, your panic meter.
Don't say anything.
I
don't. We know the powers you have right now.
I know. It's dangerous.
Shut up.
I didn't believe it until I saw it yesterday.
Exactly. You don't think it's real, do you, Casey? And then it hits your team, and you think, you know what? You don't open your mouth again. You know what you do? You shut up over there. Okay. All right. Oregon to Rutgers, 3:30. We talked about a prove-it week in the NFL. How about a prove-it week in college football? I want to dive into some of that. We can read some of your thoughts as well. We're back after this. First, here's Casey with SportsCenter. All right. Keep your fake sponsors rolling in. 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line.
Did you see the latest Pablo Torre?
I did. The hot mic audio.
Belichick and Hudson did a breakdown of something, and the film came out, and there's hot mics. And Jordan Hudson, I guess, is caught on the mic trying to contribute to the football conversation as if she is also coached for...
I mean, she knows what she's doing.
Her whole life.
I want to know what she has to say about North Carolina football.
She's basically talking about teams not being able to do S. Like, she's... I want to see if I can pull audio, but she's like, yeah, they can't even scheme against this.
You know, before yesterday, who was making more money than Kurt Cignetti this year?
Jordan Hudson.
Bill Belichick.
Well.
He has a $10 million deal to be the head coach in North Carolina. Kurt Cignetti was making $8 million.
Also Jordan Hudson.
Also Jordan Hudson.
What's Belichick worth? She's getting half.
She's getting half of that. So technically, maybe they both were making less than him because they were both making $5 million when they eventually split all the money. Yeah, I just, you know, excited for the game tomorrow. Excited to see what it looks like. Some thoughts that came in. Somebody said they kept going away from the run this past weekend. I think that gets to your point about the identity. Now, to be fair on what Lanning said earlier in the week, when they only ran, God, 20-something plays in this. I mean, it was like three and outs, not long drive. So you didn't really have the opportunity to sustain the drives and get the run game going the way that maybe they wanted to. But I do think it was a lesson for them of like, when something is working, hammer it home. Mm. When something is functioning at a high level, like running in between the tackles was for them on Saturday, don't go away from it. Don't run off the tack. Don't run off tackle. Don't run outside. Don't try and throw the ball on first down. If you have the ability to move the line of scrimmage, just come out and pound the rock. And so, I think on your identity question is what I'm very curious of tomorrow is what does the play calling look like early? How aggressive are they? Do they try and get Dante Moore going and kind of settle him into the game? Is it a thought process of we're going to run the ball down your throat until you prove that you can stop it? Very interesting to see how that all looks tomorrow in an interesting game for Oregon on the road at Rutgers. Some other games around the country that I want to start diving into, and we'll get into some more of them coming up next, because you use the argument of a prove-it weekend in college football.
And the NFL.
Or the NFL, excuse me. And I'm going to do the same thing for college football because I think there's a number of games. And I'm going to throw some point spreads at you that might make you turn your head and say, wait, what? And we had these last week. Like this for a lot of people last week was Texas-Oklahoma. Texas was favored in that game over Oklahoma coming off a loss to Florida. Mateer was back for Oklahoma. And everybody said, how's Texas favored over Oklahoma? There's a couple of those out there this weekend that might shake up the playoff picture. And a prove-it weekend for a lot of teams around the country. I'm going to start diving into that next on 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, I've locked my Sprague and the Line picks in. Final answers, 9:30, I'll deliver them. How many L's this week? Probably three, but we'll give them to you at 9:30 nonetheless.
Yeah, I had a rough weekend last week.
It was a tough one. Tough one. Every week for me has been tough this week. I think I was 2-1 in the first week, and it's been nothing but ills ever since then, so we'll see if we can get off the schneid. I wanted to read one thought, and I will answer your question here in a moment. Where did this go? Oh, any good games tonight? I got no kids or wife for the evening, first off. You poor bastard. No kid, no wife for Friday night. How will you survive? I don't know. I don't know how you're going to make it through.
Might fall asleep early. Being by yourself too much, you know what you're doing.
You do have two games to watch tonight. Can I entertain you on some Friday night action? 4 o'clock on ESPN. Miami hosting Louisville.
Can I just tell you?
Sure. Fire away.
I end up watching.
Yeah.
I am kind of the older I get. And the more, like, my kids are getting older.
Give me a take. Anti-Friday college football?
Yeah, it's hard for me to, like, I don't get up for Friday college football the way I do.
Oregon's got a Friday game in a couple of weeks.
Oregon State had the Houston game. And I'm just like, lost my Friday to this. So.
It's not a bad take, for sure. The benefit I like of it is simply that some of these games that sit on Friday nights, I would not get to watch all of. And if it's teams, I'm curious to see how they look. Like if you're in the jumble on a Saturday afternoon, if Miami Louisville is at 12:30 tomorrow, like you're keeping an eye on it. And maybe it's in a quad box for you. But you're not watching long stretches of that game by itself, unless it's like, oh my God, Louisville's up by 14 in the first half. Is Miami going to pee down their leg at home?
So to that listener saying my kids and my wife are gone tonight, will I ever live?
You got a glorious day, dude. You got college football games. You got baseball playoff games.
Now, see, look, if you're not a Mariner fan, I'm going to counter even more. I'm out completely, and I'm going to watch the new Keanu Reeves, Seth Rogen movie, Fortune.
You're just putting on a Friday night of football and baseball?
It's a good comedy written by Aziz Ansari. Yeah, I'm going to go see that movie.
You also have Nebraska and Minnesota, Catch the Fever, row the boat tonight. 7.5-point spread, 5 o'clock kick on Fox.
Dude, I told you about P.J. Fleck, and I still want to get him on the show when they play Oregon that week.
Love P.J. Fleck.
I hate watching that team.
They're terrible to watch.
I mean, he's just...
They're coming to Eugene for that's the Friday night opponent in a couple of weeks. Catch the Fever.
I know. I have family in town going to that game.
The Gophers will be here, ready to row the boat. I gave a couple of stats yesterday, one of the more exciting games of the weekend. And, you know, look, I'm high on this team, so there's some pressure in the dirty pole on this one that we're keeping an eye on going into it. The Vanderbilt is hosting LSU. Mm-hmm. And it is remarkable. Two things. One, Vanderbilt has played 77 games against top 10 teams since 1978. This is the first time they've been favored in one of those games.
Truly a remarkable stat.
They are a 2.5-point favorite over LSU this weekend. Again, this is the first time that they have been favored against LSU since 1948. Mm. They have been, and this is not a misprint, Vanderbilt football has been an underdog in 51 consecutive conference games. 51 consecutive Kentucky, Mississippi
State. Who was the last one they were favored?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that stat. Maybe
how do you give that stat?
I just am reading the stat.
No, I know, but how do you not post the stat?
They need to be a follow-up stat, yeah. That came from Hunter McCann. I think he covers LSU football, or he's down in, you know, somewhere in Louisiana. He got the numbers. So 51 games. You have to go see whatever their 52 games, SEC games ago, who they played. I wonder if they won. So it's just remarkable. That game... It's at 9 a.m. on ABC. They're a favorite at home. I'm sure that crowd's going to be rocking. LSU has looked super vulnerable offensively. Nussmeier's thrown some picks. Hasn't had a great start to the year. Vanderbilt ready to bounce back from a tough loss to Alabama. I'm very excited for that one early. Can I throw the surprising point spread at you, and do we get a shakeup in this conference? 9 a.m. game on ESPN. Georgia Tech and Duke. You know who's favorite in the game?
Duke.
Duke is favored in the game against undefeated top 12 ranked Georgia Tech.
Hmm.
Now, why? And my Brian Windhorst fingers. Now, why is that?
Because Georgia Tech almost lost to Wake Forest? I mean, I'm not going to act
don't
like
Georgia Tech is undefeatable. Don't you bring logic into this. Don't you bring logic into this,
well,
okay?
It's not like they're undefeatable.
Duke's undefeated, by the way, in the ACC. So if they win this game, like we can, we all kind of thought Georgia Tech-Miami are on a collision course of the ACC title. If Duke wins this game, they got the tiebreaker with them. Their only losses came in non-conference to Tulane and Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think this thing, I think there's nine, I counted nine of the top 25 teams are undefeated. How many will we finish with?
I would not be, like, in the regular season or this weekend?
In the regular season.
The only one that I feel super confident in.
See, I don't know if I can go there. Oh, yeah, just we're so conditioned now to see even the most random things.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. The only ones I'd be willing to bet on at this point are Texas Tech, Indiana, and Ohio State.
Hmm.
Those are the only ones that I'd be willing to put some money on them being undefeated. Indiana probably more so than Ohio State, because Ohio State's got that Michigan thing in the back of their mind, and they got to go to Ann Arbor at the end of the year.
Mm.
And I don't know if it matters how good or bad Michigan is, because clearly it didn't last year. They were terrible, and they couldn't throw the ball, and they still won the game.
Gotcha.
Look at Indiana. I mean, the rest of Indiana's schedule, they will legitimately be favored by three touchdowns in every game.
It's but that not doesn't
even,
mean they win
It does
those
not
games,
mean that
right?
they win every game.
Like
There's
Penn
no doubt.
State, I know they lost Aller. And this is going to be the funny part. When the backup quarterback starts slanging the rock, and you're like, oh.
That would be really funny.
They have a passing attack now. Yeah. And now they fire their coach, so maybe some of those guys who I still haven't seen jump in the portal,
yeah,
maybe they're just like, all right, here we go, man. We feel a little, you know, breathe a little bit
here.
Yeah, we
here. Got nothing to lose now. We lost three in a row. We're not playing for anything. So we might as well cut it loose.
If they're checked in,
yeah,
and they're looking to disrupt, they have a talent profile that can beat Indiana.
There is no doubt about it.
So that's I'm kind of curious about like how many of the nine current undefeateds in the top 25 are going to fully be able to capitalize on it. BYU is another team.
They got Utah this weekend. You got the Holy War this weekend.
Yeah, BYU probably should have lost to Colorado a couple weeks ago. They came back in that game, and they played a great second half. Like, Holy War can get them.
Yeah.
Whittingham, quietly, by the way, they got back into the top 25.
They did. After getting humbled at home, they've done nothing but win.
And that's the thing, is Texas Tech just right now, of ASU, BYU, Utah, Tech just looks like the wagon of that conference.
That's the one reason why they're a team that I'd be willing to gamble on to do it, because I just think line of scrimmage play is so much different from them for the guys that they brought in the offseason. And then you look at the rest of the landmines that exist for them. Like, they're playing Arizona State on the road. It's a 1 o'clock game on Fox
tomorrow.
See, there's
a landmine.
That could be. Sam Levitt might not play.
Yeah.
And have you watched Jeff Sims play football? Because he sucks.
Okay.
So they have, like, literally, they will lose that game by 80 points if Jeff Sims is their quarterback.
Yeah, they play BYU. They're at West Virginia. They're at Kansas State.
Yeah.
Like, these teams aren't amazing, but that's the sport in itself. Just
if Levitt was, if Levitt is available and healthy and can move around, maybe you give that one a little credence tomorrow. But I know I've seen some stuff from Dillingham this weekend that he's a game time decision, and they're not 100% certain if he's going to be able to play. And so if he's out, Jeff Sims is so bad, and he's been so bad for so long. They don't really have any other options. He's kind of all they got, and they got bludgeoned by Utah, for anybody who stayed up and watched that game, with him as their backup quarterback.
Yeah, second year for Dillingham after the playoff.
It's hard to go do it again, especially when your quarterback's hurt. Like, that's the other whammy for them. They lost that game at Mississippi State early, which was a tough one for them to lose, and then the second loss that they have is because they're playing with a backup quarterback. Some of the other prove-its this weekend that I circle, Oklahoma on the road at South Carolina is an easily losable game for Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And you drop back-to-back, and Venables goes from darling, oh my God, this is a great story, to, hey, now we're 5-2, and look at the rest of our schedule. Are we going to finish 7-5 this year, and do I get fired? Like, that's how quickly things can escalate at Oklahoma. If they went on the road at South Carolina this weekend, hey, more power to them. You're 6-1. You calm some of the nerves and the fears, but that is absolutely a losable game for them.
Well, I think the tough thing for me last week was watching Mateer play.
Yeah.
Because he looked like a guy that shouldn't have been playing.
No, he threw some bad picks.
I think that kind of, to me, reeked of, I know he wants to play, but it reeked to me on the coaching staff of desperation.
Yeah.
We don't trust the backup situation to be able to beat Texas, who was struggling. This is certainly the game that, like, if you follow this up again and play poorly, I think people are going to start penciling in four losses for you.
Without
and you go from the darling playoff sleeper team who might do it, and Venables is the Oklahoma guy who figured out how to get back on that horse, to this is your best year?
This is what's happening
now?
I
mean, I know they went, 10-2 with Dillon, but
Yeah.
Post the Dylan Gabriel thing, it was really bad last year.
With your transfer quarterback, and you got Mateer, who might be the number one pick.
Like, you stole the quarterback and the OC, and here you are again. Like, you can't quite get over that.
Let's continue this theme with the Prove It Weekend for a couple of teams. Which stock are we buying more of right now for the rest of the season? Also, a funny picture that was released yesterday that we can talk about. We'll start the final hour there. We'll get back into the Mariners. Pivotal game 5 up in Safeco tonight. Nobody gives a rat's ass about the NLCS because that's over. Thanks for ruining baseball, Dodgers. And we'll spring the line at 9:30. Get your fake sponsors in. 503-864-6326. Loaded final hour on Football Friday next. 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.